There are many distinctive characteristics in the Gospel of John, but the overarching theme is that God has decided through Jesus to come among us. And according to scholars and theologians, the best translation of come among us is literally that God has decided to pitch his tent beside us, to pitch his tent. Kind of like having that neighbor, I always think, having that neighbor who lives right next door. John and I have that neighbor, a truth teller on many matters, as well as someone who doesn't think twice about sharing clippings from her garden, perhaps bringing over a baked good, sharing vegetables, and especially watching over us when she hasn't seen one of our cars for a few days. She gets worried, and so she texts us or calls us. Is everything all right? That neighbor. Recently, I came across a commercial from Citibank, and perhaps you've seen it. And it gets right at the heart of what I mean about that neighbor. And I'm sorry I don't have the clip this morning, but you'll have to put it on your to-do list. The commercial by Citibank is a simple scene, and it starts out with a woman standing at someone's door holding a pie. And she rings the doorbell. In this beautiful-looking pie, she greets a younger woman who opens the door, and the pie-giver woman says, "Here, I brought you this pie to see if you're weird." To which the younger woman replies, "Yum, that smells intrusive." And the pie-giver woman says, "Why, yes, it is." And the younger woman says, "Would you like to come in and snoop around a bit?" And the scene ends with the two women stepping into the home with one last quip from the pie-giver woman. "Do I smell onions?" And I kind of think of this as how Jesus is, that neighbor who arrives in our neighborhood, and I'm hoping with an award-winning pie, full of grace and full of truth. And we're not sure what to make of him, but my hope is that we do indeed invite him in, into our homes and into our lives, that very place that God has decided to take up residence. Throughout the past 3 weeks of our Advent season, we have been reading from the prophets, truth tellers of the Old Testament. We heard from Daniel, a Jewish exile whose prophetic hope was found in the memory of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who remembered a God of faithfulness to deliver them. We heard in the second week from Ezekiel, a priest and a prophet who told his vision of dry bones in a valley. It was a metaphor for the exiled nations of Israel and Judah and how the very breath of God would transform their lifelessness. And then last week, Pastor Don proclaimed how Isaiah spoke to the people's deepest longings, a promise of a free banquet that would sustain them forever. And as we've listened to these, and I've listened to these Old Testament prophets, I recall the ancient Christian figures reflecting on Christ in the New Testament letter of the Hebrews. It goes like this: "Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir over all things, through whom he created the worlds." Which affirms our gospel reading today from John, spoken to us by a Son, the Word. And so this Advent, we've listened to these spoken words from long ago, and we've also tried something new. We tried to use some technology here during worship to capture words and then display them in a cloud on a screen. And thanks to your extensive grace, you'll see the cloud up there, we were able to capture the truth of our hearts, the unspoken truth of our thoughts and desires and longings that come in through these doors every Sunday when you worship with us. And then we use the ancient Greek words, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, to lift all of these words up in a prayer. And we allowed the words a place and we acknowledged what we cannot know or see with our eyes without this technology. And today, perhaps we hear a phrase spoken almost every Advent season, right? The Word made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and full of truth. The Word used here. The word, capital W, is Jesus. And as you read or listen carefully, there is a newness from this prophetic, truthful voice of Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah. Jesus is full of truth, but he is spoken of as full of grace and full of truth. Described here as light, Jesus, the true light which enlivens everyone, was coming into the world. Now, for you that like some science along with your theology, I've been thinking about this, and I hope I'm getting this right so you can correct me afterwards if I'm not. But we cannot see light, right? The bottom line is without light, there would be no sight. The visual ability of humans and other animals is the result of a complex interaction of light, our eyes and our brain. And we're able to see because light from an object can move through space and reach our eyes. A light was coming into the world. Jesus' ministry makes the power of God visible, audible, tangible. And Jesus is described in this text as a light coming into the world. He will also refer to himself in chapter 8 of John as, "I am the light of the world." And we see this light and we experience God here at Atonement. And for you that are here on Wednesday nights, there's lots of ways to see God in action. If it's not through the children, then just take a step down into our kitchen and the ministry that goes on in our kitchen to serve the kids and our volunteers. We use our ears to hear music of all kinds, from the little ones that are just starting music garden to our fabulous choir, and there is a place for all. When you came into church today, whether you saw them or not, we have placed manger scenes in the windows, and you might take a look at those. And it strikes us that in every culture, there is an interpretation of the nativity. We see and experience God here when we encounter others in prayer. And we've had a prayer ministry going on where people have been practicing contemplative prayer on Sunday mornings. When we hear water poured at baptism, it not only quiets the children, but that sound of water, it calms us and it reminds us. We too are babes brought, not of our own choosing, but God chooses us. And when we taste the bread and wine, and when we remember and that we at Atonement are known as a place where you can call in a help of crisis, that grace is extended and truth will be spoken. For God is alive, and we proclaim and remember Jesus, God's only Son, coming into the world to do what no human could do, to show us who God is and how God really meant us to live. The prophetic imagination of God at work here and out is taken then out into our homes and our workplaces and our schools and out into the world, that God is working out an alternative world of well-being, of justice, of peace, of security, in spite of any other contradictions. And this is the way we go forward with hope into a future that God has planned for all of us. The prophet spoke God's word of truth, words of hope to a people far from home. They were living in exile. But you don't have to be a pie baker or a nosy neighbor or a blunt speaker of all your inside thoughts to extend grace and speak truth to be Christ for others. The ancient prophets of God helped us to see the challenges and the deep pain that many people live in today and every day. But they also help us to speak and act in ways that cultivate life. Jesus, the Word made flesh, God with us from the very beginning of creation, speaks not only truth, but words full of grace. Will you pray with me? God of all grace and truth, we thank you for the blessing of families and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. Thank you for coming among us, for pitching your tent beside us, and from your fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And in this grace and in your truth, you are made known, for you are God. Amen.